Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, our issue is, what is the church? You might say, well, that's an elementary question. Everybody knows what the church is. No, we don't. That's been proven, evidentially proven, in the past four or five months, that the nation doesn't truly understand the church. The nation doesn't truly understand the modus operandi, nor the purpose for the church, the founder of the church, the plan of the church, and what God is doing in and through the church. Thus, it's being dissed, cast to the curb, and considered non-essential. Often, the word church is found in the scripture, as I said earlier, 114 times in the New Testament. It's the basic Greek word ekklesia. It's also sometimes called the congregation, as found in Acts chapter 19 and Acts chapter 7. The word is mostly used for the New Testament church, a group of born-again, baptized believers, those that are called out to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and have said yes to him as Savior. The church has three primary responsibilities. Listen carefully. The church has three primary responsibilities. Number one is to exalt the Savior. Number two is to equip the saints. Number three is to evangelize the sinners. Those are the three primary things that you find throughout the New Testament that is the purpose, the primary responsibility of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some might say, well, all of these things can be done by way of online streaming. Ladies and gentlemen, may I just simply confess to you, I'm weary with, tired of, sick of hearing, and weary to the bone, if I can use that term, with the philosophy and the feeling by the fake media, with the Communist Network News and the Socialist, Marxist, Communist Democrats that are saying that the church is the non-essential and you don't have to have worship services and we can just cast aside the need to open the doors of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Exalting the Savior means that we place him first and foremost, that we fear God and faith God and not be fearful of the government. It was Peter that said, we ought to obey God rather than man. That's exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, exalting the Savior. And the equipping the saints cannot be done online, ladies and gentlemen. You have the individual modules that oftentimes is called Sunday school or Bible study. That's where an intimacy in the study of the Word of God takes place. That's where we're able to ask questions and have dialogue and discussion. That cannot be done by video streaming. Someone recently said, well, I don't mind if the church is closed. I can just enjoy sitting on my couch and watching it online. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe one of the things that has taken place with the churches being closed in America is that the moderate Christian, if you can call them that, the anemic Christian, the ones that are illiterate Christians, or if they're saved at all, just church members, they have simply become satisfied and pacified with not having to get up, get dressed, and go to church. The numbers, nickels, and noses philosophy is out the window from the standpoint of multitudes today. And it's not about the numbers, nickels, and noses that as Christians are well to recognize, but we need to recognize the responsibility of being obedient to the Word of God, of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the heathens do, according to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the 25th verse. But ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you've heard the illustration. You can take a charcoal grill and fill it up with briskets and light the fire. And they're glowing red, red hot. You take the tongs and pull one out, put it over on the shelf by itself, or on the floor by itself. It's not but a minute or two before it's graying and cold and non-participating. And that's what you find taking place in America today because the churches have been shut down by fiat orders of wannabe tyrants called governors and mayors across America. Here's an article that says, America, wake up to the essential nature of faith. And that's what we need to do, is to wake up to the essential nature of faith. It's not something that is non-essential. It is essential. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, if the value system of America can be rightly balanced, the value system in America today can be looked at and viewed on by the prism of the truth book called the Bible, you'll find that the value system in America is that I'd rather have Walmarts than the church. I'd rather have Publix than the church. I'd rather have the liquor store down on the corner street than the church. I'd rather have Lowe's and Home Depot than have the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd rather have my favorite pot shop open, my favorite liquor store open, rather than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're finding priorities being segmented and segregated and brought to the forefront today as to what we find in America as being essential. I find it antithetical to the Word of God that we're willing to see the churches just shut down and not be concerned about it, not being anxious over it, or in any way mitigating against it. Ladies and gentlemen, in the era of the coronavirus, there appears to be a diminished value of the church, a diminished value of the church. We've heard the socialist Marxist Democrats and the governors and the mayors that demean the church and criticize and castigate the church. It seems that the COVID-19 virus is not found in Publix or Walmarts or the liquor stores or the pot shops or Home Depot or the abortion clinics or Lowe's. The virus can only be found at the church. It's sad but true. That's the mindset today. Here's an article that says, Mayor sent cops to shut down the Sunday services. Courtney Lewis, the pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Chicago, was in the middle of his sermon when he heard loud banging on the front door. It was the police. Mayor Lori Lightfoot had dispatched 3 squad cars and 2 unmarked cars along with the representatives from the mayor's office. Pastor Lewis said the intent was to shut down their Sunday services. It was like the Soviet-style KGB, the pastor said. The only thing the mayor has done yet is beat the doors down and arrest our members, the pastor said. Pastor Lewis tells the Todd Starnes radio show, quote, that the men of the church were instructed not to open the doors during the services per protocol. The officials were in fact denied entry. Thankfully, our doors were locked as a normal safety precaution. We take each service and to protect our members from escalating gun violence in the Chicago area, the pastor said. A church usher who is typically positioned outside the building during the services saw the mayor's goon squad attempt to enter the building and began taking photographs. Even more disturbing, an individual in an unmarked car with tinted windows was seen filming and photographing church members as they arrived to worship the Lord Jesus. The mayor wants to educate everyone into compliance, which means intimidate, the pastor said. And the intimidation is what is taking place with our churches and pastors, ladies and gentlemen, across America. We're asking the question, what is the church? Some of the questions that I challenge you to respond to. What is the church? Is the church essential? Is your church open? If not, why not? If they're going to open, when? Is it okay to be closed? Question needs to be asked, is COVID-19 found only in the churches? COVID-19, the pathogen called the coronavirus, is it found more in the church than in Walmarts or other stores that have been open, never closed down? Should a crisis deemed by the government close our churches? If we've closed the churches because of the coronavirus, what's the next pathogen? What's the next virus? What's the next crisis? What's the next movement by government? When can the government simply by fiat demand that churches close? Can churches operate online only? Is it possible that there's a new era for the church and we need to just shut down the brick and mortar buildings and go online? And that's what some are advocating today, ladies and gentlemen. Why do Christians criticize the opening of churches? Perhaps you're one of them. Have you criticized the fact that churches are open? I've had some castigating communication by way of email and telephone calls because we've remained open. The mindset is, as one nurse said, if you remain open, your members are going to have the coronavirus, and I'll be the one that will give you the ventilator. Is anything wrong with those statements? How should we respond to it? How should we view it? Here's an article that says, The Dark Agenda, the war to destroy Christian America. Christianity, once the backbone of American civilized Judeo-Christian society, is under cruel and relentless attack. David Horowitz warns that the left-wing activists working in tandem with the Democrats and radicals are attempting to tear down our religious freedom. They're waging a war against Christians in court and in the media. The goal, he says, is to destroy Christianity in America. He asked the question, sounds unbelievable. Think again. The war to destroy Christians in America is David Horowitz's extraordinary look into the left's calculated effort to create a godless, heathen American society. Horowitz says these efforts must be stopped. He agrees, he argues, that even Jews and everyone who believes in God will be in danger, listen, if Christians are not protected. In other words, Horowitz, as a Jewish man, says if the church is not protected, if Christians are not protected, then everyone that believes in God are under attack and are in danger, including the Jews. I believe we have a call on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Yes, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. Good afternoon. You know, in its purest sense, as you elucidated, the church are the people, the called out ones, the ecclesia. And, you know, I can worship in any setting, a building, and there's no problem. But as we approach the end times, eschatologically speaking, the buildings will be shut down, synagogues, churches, even mosques. And I believe in God's economy, prophetically, the church, the called out ones, the holy ones, the saints, not the ain'ts, the saints, they'll be forced to, you know, meet in homes. In China, that's what they're doing. That's the way it originally was, as we know. And even in the book of James, the Koine Greek word, I forget what it is, but it means an assembly. Because it was a Jewish congregation, and James, his name was Jacob, actually. But in the last days, it will revert back to the homes, and we're getting a taste of it now, but nothing like those in China and other countries that are under duress. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well spoken and a point well taken. You're exactly right. What we're seeing, and let me, as you used the term, elucidate on that further, let me simply open Pandora's box with that statement and say this. We're watching the stage rehearsal. We're watching the stage being set. We're watching a planned future event of the destruction of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is in China today. At one time, just several years back, Chinese Christians were flourishing. Churches were being built. China decided that it is too antithetical to the communist regime. They're tearing down churches. They're destroying crosses off the spires of church buildings. They're burning hymnals and church worship books and Bibles. They're incarcerating Christians. Christians are being put in the gulags and in the re-educational camps all over China. And what we see in China today is the harbinger of things to come in America if we allowed the government to do what we're doing. Yes, in the last days. Yes, after the church is raptured out. Yes, before the church is raptured out even, we're going to see persecution and prosecution. And we find that, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of we're reaping to the whirlwind, because according to the Word of God, in the last days before the rapture of the church, the man of sin, the lawless one, the Antichrist steps on the scene, there'll be a great falling away, the apostasy. And we're watching the apostasy, and it's because of the apostasy, the falling away of being lukewarm, that there's a carelessness about the condition of the church. And that's what we're seeing. You're exactly right.
And Brother Youngblood?
Yes.
Am I still on? Yeah. Actually, wait a minute. I lost my thought. I got to grab it again.
That happens as we get older. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I think it's on the track, but I can't find the car it's in. All right, God bless.
Thank you so much.
I got it. Actually, whenever I hear the term the church is closed, I understand what they mean by that. But I always sort of chuckle to myself. The church is more alive than ever. The true born from above ones are the church, and they're more alive now than others. They're holding meetings at home, and the pastor of the congregation could come and give communion if that's what it's called for, and perform the functions and go from house to house. The church isn't dead. It's not closed. It's wide open.
But would you agree with this statement? we have church buildings that we meet in. That's the norm, just as they had homes that were the church location in the first century church. We have the church locations called our buildings, and the government has no authority to, by fiat, demand that those buildings, which is viewed by the government, viewed by the world, and unfortunately viewed by most Christians as the church. It is absolutely antithetical to our Bill of Rights to say they have the authority to do so.
No, I agree with that statement. And if that's the way we're meeting in buildings that are called churches, when the church is there, fine. And the government has no authority. But again, in the last days, it's going to be where you're going to see it happen more and more as we get approach the hoofbeats of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, that the homes will be the meeting places. And I'm saying that out of all due respect.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. You're exactly right.
God bless.
That's the harbinger of things to come as a result of what we're seeing today. We're watching the stage being set. It is a dress rehearsal for future events. Yes, sirree. Thank you so much, and God bless you for your call today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question, what is the church? Should we simply toss in the towel, close the church doors, and say it's all right? Is the church considered non-essential? Should it be non-essential? Is it essential? Here's an article that says, shutdowns destroying livelihoods do not curb the coronavirus. The lockdowns that have destroyed millions of livelihoods worldwide have had no impact on the spread of the novel coronavirus, according to the study by J.P. Morgan Chase. The report cited falling infection rates in places where the lockdown has lifted, concluding the virus likely has its own dynamics, which are unrelated to or often inconsistent with any lockdown measures in America. Study author says that quantitative strategists said governments were scared into imposing the lockdown by flawed scientific papers. Lockdowns were administered with little consideration that might not only cause economic devastation, but potentially more deaths than the COVID-19 itself. And ladies and gentlemen, that's been proven to be factual. It goes on to say, after extensive analysis of data, which is featured in the report and the graphics, concluded that after the lockdowns were lifted, the vast majority of countries that decreased infection rates immediately. Even after factoring in the lag time for the new infections, it appears the rate of infections have continued to decline. Quote, while we often hear the lockdowns are driven by scientific models and there is an exact relationship between the level of economic activity and the spread of the virus, there is no supported data whatsoever to validate that statement. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question, are churches essential? What about the church? What is the church? Here's an article that says, why we don't see churches as essential. It is an interesting read, ladies and gentlemen. Ever since the world went into COVID-19 lockdown and stay-at-home orders were issued, the term essential and non-essential have loomed large in our discourse. Businesses and services deemed essential were kept open. Supermarkets, hardware stores, gas stations, pet stores, laundromats, and so forth. Many others deemed non-essential were ordered closed until further notice. Gyms, movie theaters, casinos, retail stores, sports stadiums, and concert ventures. Churches fell into that category, ladies and gentlemen, this article says, as non-essential. The vast majority of churches are obliged to and cancel their services, understanding the logic of in-person gatherings posing high risk for the virus transmission. Most have waited to get their government's green light to begin gathering church services again, which is happening more and more across the United States today. This article says, church as nice to have, but in no way necessary. That's a subtitle in this elongated article. When I saw my governor's announcement that the church gatherings won't resume until stage 3, California's reopening, I was sad, this writer says, because it underscored how low priority church going has become in contemporary Western culture. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. According to the Barna report of several years ago, church attendance is down dramatically in America. Church attendance has been down and been decreasing dramatically since about 2000. And it's at the lowest point that it's ever been in the history of the percentages of church attendance. And we find that at that low point in church attendance is when there's the fiat order by governors and mayors to shut the doors and close the churches. and it has taken hold as nothing else could have done, could have been, had it not been for the low church attendance and the sense that the churches are not priority in America. This article further says, in California, churches are in the same reopening categories, nail salons, gyms, and movie theaters. Nice to have, luxuries that we can presumably live without for a prolonged season. Churches are lumped in with the entertainment options, good for people who like that sort of thing and nothing more, but by no means essential for humans and societal flourishing, and certainly not worth the potential health risk, according to the government in California and many of the governors across America today. This article says, as it continues in relationship to that, I'm telling that our society has decided we cannot live without essentials. Things like churches, church services are critical to the needs in our communities, food banks, homeless assistance, educational support, orphans, orphanage care, counseling, among others, and to contribute to the mental, spiritual health and well-being of our population. Would the world notice if the churches never reopened, this article states? That's a question. Would the world notice if the churches never reopened? In a secularized society in which we're living today, I conclude that the answer to that would be no. Most of the world would not care. This article says, still, this pandemic and the non-essential status of the church within should be a wake-up call for all of us as Christians. Does the world miss the churches when they are taken away? Do Christians themselves feel a grappling hole, gaping hole in their faith when the local church is missing? Recognizing that the ecclesia is God's idea, and it recites in Matthew 16, 18 and 19 that I had alluded to and I'd quoted earlier, is the central part of the church. How can the church reclaim a position in society that is perceived by all of society, believers and non-believers alike, as no more essential, non-essential, if you will? It's a sad telling story, ladies and gentlemen, to read the article in the realization that much of society today, including many Christians, view the churches as being non-essential. Governors and mayors have deemed our churches as non-essential. They have castigated the church. It seems that only place that the COVID-19 dwells is in the churches and not in Home Depot or Lowe's and other places. God forbid that you gather to worship in the church is the philosophy and the feeling. Even now, the mayor of Chicago is threatening to bulldoze any church in Chicago if they continue to remain open. I find it, ladies and gentlemen, absolutely a sad thought. It is absolutely antithetical to biblical truth to find this. And listen to the headlines. Chicago threatens to close or destroy churches. Today, the Chicago Department of Public Health sent a letter to Elam Pentecostal Church and the Romanian Church in the city threatening closure and summary abatement. So you ask the question, what is summary abatement? Listen to this article. In the threatening letter, Commissioner Allison Alward wrote, I am authorized to seek to enjoin such nuisance or to cause the same to be summarily abated in such manner as I may direct. The letter ending by stating that the city will take steps necessary to abate, including summary abatement. According to the Illinois Supreme Court, summary abatement would mean to put down or to destroy, to bulldoze without process. This means the inspector can, upon his own personal judgment, cause the alleged nuisance to stop on his own authority and effect a destruction of the property of the church at his discretion. The day after President Donald Trump stated that the houses of worship are essential and the governors must allow them to reopen, Chicago authorities declared religious gatherings undertaking with all the hygiene and social distancing guidelines to be a public nuisance. Churches considered a public nuisance, subject to summary abatement. Chicago is therefore threatening to the closure and even the bulldozing and destruction of church buildings at their discretion. The executive order from Governor J.B. Pritzker are an insult to the First Amendment and all Americans who understand the price and the value of religious freedom and our churches. Every day, the thug tactics to close churches in Illinois gets more bizarre and outrageous. The courts must stop this insanity, that particular writer said. Democrat governors are sued across the nation for not wanting churches to remain open. Churches are having their doors banged on by the police department and simply being told you cannot have worship services. Ladies and gentlemen, the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. Are the churches essential or are they non-essential? Should churches remain closed or do they have the right to reopen? I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, that in the state of Florida, there was never a fiat order definitively stating churches could not open and that churches were non-essential. Now, some churches, in fact, multitudes, most churches, even in the state of Florida, did close. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful for those few of us that remained open and said, we're going to obey God rather than man. Here's an article that says, too early. Local churches feel rushed to reopen during the pandemic. Some of the local news media have been kind of polling some of the local churches, the larger churches in particular, asking them about reopening. One of them says, welcome attendees back. But some church pastors across the city of Jacksonville feel there is a rush to reopen for in-person services. On Friday, Trump called for the houses of worship essential and implored the governors to reopen them across the country. But in Florida, they were never ordered to close in the first place. Instead, to keep the COVID-19 from spreading, many church leaders use drive-through and online services. One church in Jacksonville said most Sundays his church is packed with thousands of members, so he wants to make sure his team has a plan to before welcoming them back. Another church then in Jacksonville says it's too soon to even think about reopening. How can we open when three zip codes in our city have the highest uptick of the virus in the last 3 weeks? Church pastors say they appreciate the president's support during the pandemic, but what several of them in Jacksonville said, reopening without a plan isn't safe. I just made a little marginal note on this. Wow. Yet throughout our city, throughout our country, churches have kept their doors open and they've not found the congregations dying as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I close with this. I'm looking at a gigantic article that talks about 14 things that are high risk. And one of the things that's considered high risk is that of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the listed as high risk is this: eating indoors or at a restaurant or at church is considered high risk. Ladies and gentlemen, I am telling you that we need to recognize that our churches need to be open. We need to recognize that churches are essential, and we need to continue to meet and to pray and to worship and to encourage one another and have that koinonia fellowship. You can't have fellowship online. Ladies and gentlemen, let's continue to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Tune in next time as once again we face the issues.
Listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.